And at the conclusion of the case, ladies and gentlemen, I will again have the opportunity to stand before you, I said, walking to the defense table and stopping directly in front of Andrew Tripping. If I wanted the 12 good people in the box to look him in the eye and declare him guilty, I needed to show them that I was not afraid to do that myself. At that time, I will ask you to consider the testimony of the witnesses who appeared before you, discuss the evidence that has been presented, and find this defendant guilty of the crimes with which he is charged. Thorough, calm, understated, I had given them the basic elements of the crime, read the indictment, and previewed Paige Vallis's story. That way, when she gave them more, they would be surprised and somewhat pleased that I had not promised anything I could not deliver. Peter was cool. He stayed away from specifics, laying in the general picture of the struggling single-parent father trying to put bread on the table and care for a rambunctious child. He didn't make my witness out to be a monster, but the undercurrent was set in motion. The foundation he was building on would lead him to sum up, I assumed, with a description of Paige Vallis as emotionally unstable, socially insecure, confused by Andrew's mixed signals, and insensitive to his personal travails. Roblin closed with a routine keep an open mind pitch. He made no promises about whether his client would testify, insisting instead that he would hold my feet to the fire and dare me to prove my case. "Let's have your first witness, Ms. Cooper," Moffat said. "The people call Paige Vallis." 15 pairs of eyes, 12 jurors, 2 alternates, and a curious judge scrutinized Vallis as she stepped up to her place on the stand and took the oath.